Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
For many years, children, young people, have been sold the dream in America: life, liberty, and happiness through a free and quality education. That's what we tell them. Some may say this is a utopian idea, and it has served as a motivation for some people. However, others don't see it that way. Equally resulting for some, they would tell you, in failure, disappointment, nightmare. Moreover, the fear of lack of trust in the formal process that's associated with learning. And we see this now today more than ever, where we're questioning the content material that's being taught and what should be taught. But this process is the primary basis for individuals resulting in what's deemed criminal activity, engaging in chaos in society. And those who consider themselves the most oppressed and despondent in certain areas across America, we see this being concentrated in certain precincts, voting precincts across America. However, it is impossible to take control of personal destiny, but it is possible, I should say, for you to look at your circumstances and for you to say to yourself that I'm going to take control of the levers of my life and I'm going to work toward the success that I want. I'm going to turn my dreams into a reality. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for each of you that will join us either via the Blog Talk Radio platform or on live stream and Facebook. Again, we're happy for you to join us and to dialogue with us tonight. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. And when you do, you'll engage us in our topic this evening: making my dream my reality. Yeah, did you hear that? Making my dream my reality. Sounds a little selfish, doesn't it? Yeah, necessarily so. Because you have the power to make what happened to you 5, 10, 20 years from now. In fact, next week, you have the power to make that a reality, good or bad. So join me tonight as we do so. We have a topic, and if you've been following us, you know we offer a monologue, which provides some context to the greater discussion that we hope to have in the next hour and 30 minutes or so here on Talk Straight. All right? It allows us to give you some direction and keep us focused in our conversation. Sometimes we have open mic where our listening audience pretty much control the flow of conversation. But tonight we have a structured topic. So I hope our friends from Chicago, from St. Louis, from Indianapolis, from Illinois, from Peoria there, Jacksonville, Florida, Nashville, right here in Nashville. Hope you're able to call us and share with us your thoughts, your ideas. We certainly want to hear them. Pastor Wall is our co-host. Let me just say, last week we did not air. Make a long story short, things got in the way, and I just wasn't able to pull it off. But we're glad that we're back tonight. And for those of you who can join us, who will, come on back with us. Come on back. We strive to keep the conversation and the dialogue going. You know, we do so on a national level, national basis. So I hope that those of you who missed us didn't miss us too bad, and that you were able to come back with us and join us here this evening on Talk Straight. All right? Again, the topic for tonight, making my dream my reality. Guess what? The fifth month of 2022 will be out of here midnight today. It's May 31st, 2022. We're going into the 6 months already. May 31st, 2022. And we're talking tonight on Talk Straight from the topic, Making My Dream My Reality. The text in Joel, second chapter in verse 28 reads like this. Verse 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." That is apropos to our discussion tonight, making my dream a reality. Specifically, I want to focus on young men and young ladies being able to see something for themselves today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Want y'all to walk with me? Let's look at what a dream is, just for a second. Formally, it is a series of thoughts, perhaps images in the unconscious mind, sensations occurring in a person's mind while they're unconscious or asleep. A cherished aspiration is what we often refer to as a dream. Some sort of ambition, some idea, some goal. You dream about it. It motivates us and guides us. A dream is a string of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations that usually occur involuntarily in your mind while you are. When you're up and conscious, don't think about these things, these ideas. But when you sleep, when you're resting, here they come. Dreams mainly occur in the rapid eye movement, or what's called the REM, R-E-M, stage of sleep, when the brain activity is high and the eyes, they resemble that of being awake. REM sleep is revealed by continuous movement of the eyes during your sleep. People are more likely to remember the dream if they are awakened during the REM phase. You have such a powerful dream, and it wakes you up. It's easily recognizable. The average person has 3 to 5 dreams a night, it said. Behavioral psychologists believe. And some may have up to 7. However, most dreams are immediately and quickly forgotten. Have the best ideas. And here today, gone tomorrow. Now, that's in the unconscious. Let's talk about reality. We are speaking about making your dreams your reality. And you doing it. Not nobody doing it for you. You doing it. Reality, very simply, is the state or quality of having the existence or substance, things that are tangible, that are real. Put your hand on them, you can touch them. They're unquestionable. That's real. As a bad or unpleasant dream, it can cause strong emotional response from the mind, typically fear, but also despair, anxiety, and great sadness. Now, what happens here is that in this unconscious state, you get all upset. But when you're facing reality, you don't expect that. Some people will tell you that all they ever live is a nightmare, trouble, heartaches, and pain. We should talk about that. That's a reasonable conversation to have. But when we talk about these ideas and these dreams, and usually stroke good feelings, and emotions, what I think we should take away from this is that if you work toward making materializing those things, you can find long-term happiness, and you can make them real in your life. See, it's good to have a vision. It's good to have a dream. In fact, when you have a vision, what you do is you have a dream or a trance or some sort of ecstasy, especially gives you a sense of where you want to be. And that can be a driving force, a motivator, right? You see revelations of sorts, things that you're not regularly or consciously paying attention to, objects, forms, and drives even greater imagination. And that's the best thing for young energy, is to be imaginative, creative, right? And work toward manifestation of these things from immaterial to material. You notice how we keep talking about work? Because that's how you make a dream a reality. You've got to be willing. It doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter where you come from or how tough your beginning was. If you're willing to put the work in, let's say you fell down, fell on your face. That's a terrible thing, right? Yeah, you don't like that. But you got a choice. You can stay down or you can get up, right? What motivates us to get up? It seems intuitive for little babies as they're learning how to walk. When they find themselves falling, nobody has to tell them, though. Instinctive. Get up and try it again. You know? Just like that little bitty baby. Have that same drive. And what happens is, it seems as if you look at their face, they're intrigued by the idea that they have the ability to get up. That's the beauty of it. See? Talking about making your dreams your reality. This baby, this unconscious being who really don't know anything, innocent, kind of way, intuitively, they have a joy in being able to start over again and to get back where they started. My God, when they start putting one foot in front of the other and that thing is working for them, oh, my goodness, they just see the little face light up. They're doing it now. They're doing it now. Well, you know what? They're not just walking. They're running. You got to watch them. You got to keep up with them. That's the good thing. Now, one of the things that I would argue is missing, particularly in 2022. I know you hear me talk a lot about the year and the month and how time is winding up. Beloved, it's unfortunately, but we see too often instances around our nation where people are running out of time, not because time is not fair, just as it is the circumstances of their lives cause them to speed up a certain course, and particularly across urban America. I made reference to that earlier in the monologue, how for some, in certain places, it appears that this negative reality, this nightmare, constantly reoccurs. It doesn't have to, though. That's the good news. And there are some things we can do to minimize that. Okay? We can make good ideas, the euphoric feeling that we like to think about. We can make that a reality. Something that's very interesting, it doesn't cost you anything to have a good feeling about a thought. It costs you a penny. No money is required. Cost you anything to experience the joy and pleasure of a candy bar, ice cream, cake, cookies. Now, you would say, I know somebody saying, you got to get them. Well, yes, that's true. But even if you get them, when you get them, the feeling that you get, nobody can take it away from you. What I'm saying is that this is the drive and the motivation. We are able to find this energy to work towards something. You heard what Joel said, 2:28. Young men and young daughters, sons and daughters will dream dreams. They'll have visions, and old men will dream dreams. Let's take their vision and teach them how to turn it into something, as opposed to tearing something down. Let me take my time and say that again. Let's take the vision of young men and young women, sons and daughters, and teach them how to build something with it, as opposed to tearing something down. See, I never will forget my daughter. She would go in my office at the church and had a lot of pens. We would get them sent to us from different companies who wanted us to buy them or what have you. So a lot of different types of pens. And she was fascinated by them. And what she can do best is to sit there and pick one of them apart. And rather than being upset with, I said, okay, now you done tore up all these pens. Here's what I want you to do. Let's see if we can put one of them back together again. And do you know she had the greatest joy in being able to reconstruct the pens she had pulled apart. Now, what she remembered is the pieces that came off of it, but she never had the motivation to put it back together again. And that stopped her from tearing up those pens. I said, well, these cost money. You know, we don't want to do that. But it was the enjoyment of being able to reconstruct. I say that to say, if we focus on, even when there's disappointment, there's heartache, encouraging our babies to look for opportunities to bring joy and happiness, then we can do a whole lot. We can do a whole lot to move them where they want to be. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. I've called on my friend, the late, great Luther Vandross, to help me tonight. As he comes, 657-383-0944. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host. We're talking from the topic, Making My Dream a Reality. Listen to what Luther says about dreaming an impossible thing. 657-383-0944. Give me a call here, right here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor.
Today, with unbearable sorrow, where the brave did not go.
Listen to him, listen to
him. And you, the unrightable wrong. Yeah. You're rich from above to try. When your arms are too weary,
keep your head up, baby. Stay in the game. Tell us, Luther. What you say, son? Uh-huh. All right, let me let Luther sing. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. Come on, give me a call. Come on, get in here where you fit in here. This is Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic. Making my dream my reality. Making my dream my reality. Not your dream, my reality. Not his dream, my reality. Not her dream, but my dream, my reality. How do you do that? How do you take what's in you and bring it out? Do you know that's the essence of education, the process of teaching and learning, to induce that which is in one innately and encourage them to bring it out? We know when a person has learned. Educational psychology and in our training, we're taught that learning is measured by a change in your behavior after you've been exposed to information. That's what it means to be taught. See, you didn't know. You were not aware. And sometimes learning is not a human being that teaches you, but life experiences. Use the illustration of the baby that we just had. Nobody told the baby that they had to, that falling requires them to get up, but they picked it up. And they learn that it benefits from them. And we know they've learned because they continue to walk. Are you with me? So what you saying, Doctor? What you saying? I'm saying that what we have is opportunity to move forward, to bring out that which is in us in a greater sense. I believe that in general, people want to be contributors to humanity. I'm convinced that they want to be viable. They want to be active in a communal setting. Problem is, for many, they haven't learned how to do so without having conflict. I think it's natural for, as Dr. King referred to it, for us all to exhibit what he referred to as the drum major instinct. You know, the drum major in the band, that guy with a stick, he's giving it, boy, he's leading it, he's guiding everything, he's bringing the charge. That's instinctively a drive for us all to lead something because we have some individual contribution to humanity. So that's perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal. And I would argue that with the right guidance, the right training, right support, you can take those individuals who have done some pretty bad things, some pretty heinous things, and under the right condition, they can turn it around. They can turn it around. They can do better. We see across the country over a span of years, young men in particular, who are void of understanding of themselves, full of pain and passion that is manifested through hatred and destruction. Just imagine, beloved, if we don't know where the next one is. Just imagine if in each of our communities we sought that out. Look for that in the schools, in the libraries, on the streets, on the playground, in the grocery store. And we had some sort of process by which we can identify individuals with this great potential that may be wayward and despondent. I wonder if we can tap into them and put them on a positive, productive trajectory. Just wonder. Boy myself, I've been a boy anyway, and I've had a fascination with weapons and fighting and sports and what have you. We learn to compete. Those are useful lessons that you can channel certain natural energies, you see, and you'll get productivity out of it. Again, that's the point I'm trying to make, as opposed to destruction. So 657-383-0944, the phone lines are open. I encourage you to give us a buzz here and join us in our conversation. As we move forward here tonight on Talk Straight, we're talking from the topic, Making My Dream a Reality. I'm going to go to a brief commercial break, and some of you may have known that we put together a school model. While it was inhibited by COVID and other things, the concept's still alive, and we look forward to one day bringing it to bear. But just here, and join us here. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. When we come back, we'll bring us back into this conversation. I want to hear from you about making my dream my reality.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
And you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Interestingly enough, right on time, we have a co-host, I believe. That's you, Brother Pastor.
Yes, sir. It is, brother.
Hey, man. What's going on, big brother? You came right
I'm
on
all
time.
Right.
Right on time.
well, man, I'm all right, brother. How you doing, Pastor?
Yeah, man, it's a little rough out here, but we're hanging in there, big brother. We're hanging in there. We ain't going to give up.
Yeah,
so, you know,
that's it.
I said you came right on time because you're getting ready for your regular summer basketball camp sometime this summer. And can you believe May is already gone, man? Can you believe May is out of here?
Time is going, bro.
Hey. So I'm getting my pennies together because we'll be happy again. The doctor agency, the sponsor, New Way Outreach Ministries camp for young people. In my dream, my reality, not his or her or somebody else's, but my dream, my reality. And I'm glad you were able to join us here, man. We talked about the school, Dockery Christian Academy, and how circumstances precluded us from moving forward with it. But guess what? The dream ain't dead, and we're going to work to make it a reality. How you doing tonight? Talk to me about that, big brother. What happens
that's
when
good.
You get set
that's
back?
Good. Well, you know, that's the good thing about time. You know, see, the thing about time.
Uh-huh.
Time could still be on your side because
help us hold it.
A delay never has meant to be a denial, but
uh-oh.
It's just called
uh-oh.
A delay.
Yeah.
And so it would be appropriate to believe that the hope is still alive, you know, that your desire has not been tampered with where it would cause you to believe that it cannot come to pass. So it's a powerful statement to learn how to be patient and let patience work for you.
That's one of those things
that, you know, he was looking forward for it to take place at a certain time.
Right.
And then
right.
obstacles came in the way, so patience had to utilize its power and
mm-hmm.
right where you need to be at right now. Because you still got that strong desire to get it done.
I like that. Okay. Now, you're trying to tell me that even though I get knocked down, you're saying if I get knocked down on my little fanny, what, I got to keep on moving? That's what you're telling me, preacher?
Hey, look here. That's a part of being a winner.
Watch it now. Watch it. Now, explain that to me like 3 years old. You said that's a part of being a woman. What do you mean by that? What you mean by that, preacher? That's
you
a
know,
part
it,
of being a
woman. It means what it means is that when you're a winner, being knocked down don't cause you to be a loser.
Okay.
It doesn't. I mean, because a winner is a winner and a loser is a loser. So I have to choose between the two. Which one?
Okay.
Which one am I?
And if you went on
what the world say, that would say you're a loser.
Uh-oh.
Because you got knocked down.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it goes this side. When you have this faith in God and knowing that He's able, you just want to see what you would do in the midst of a delay.
Wow.
You know, would you still make a stand? As I approach difficult times right now, it doesn't take away from my winning mentality or the attitude
Uh-oh.
That I have to win.
I even
felt like a loser years ago because of what I didn't get a chance to do.
I found out.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, now, I'm thinking about the text that says the race isn't given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, we say, but He said it to us to the end. But the text goes on to say, but it's by chance, Pastor. It's by chance that if you sit down and stop or you get up and keep going, you'll win that race. It's by chance.
So the key is in you.
The key is in you and what you do with your circumstance.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
That is it.
Yes, sir. Why don't we, for a second, Pastor, look at some of the causes that cause people's aspiration, their vision, particularly young folk, to perish, to fall by the wayside. I read at the beginning of the monologue, Pastor, I read from Joel 2 and 28. And let me just reiterate that right quick. And then let's look at some of the reasons people give up. They quit. You know, they jump out of the race. Joel says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and young sons and young daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see vision. My God. Where the vision at, Brother Preacher? Where the vision at? Where we at today? Here we are in 2022, and it seems like ain't nobody got no kind of vision. Without a vision, the people will perish. Is that right? Help me with that now. Help me with that. Am I right about it, Brother Preacher?
Yes. Well, yes, truly the vision is only given to those that he give the vision to. And
okay.
And that's not nothing against those that doesn't have the vision, but for the, those who do get a chance to experience what it's like to have the vision and then you be distracted for obvious reasons. And that, again, goes back to when I said that doesn't take away from you being, you know, a winner, because what a winner does is he recognizes that even in the midst of having a vision, there's still work to do, because there are some things that have to be moved around, you understand, placed over here, over there, and, you know, when it seems like everything is going smooth with your pattern of thinking about the vision, but then suddenly things like that take place. That's why you was reading that in Joel where he was talking about it, it shall come to pass after that I will. You know, it's after, you know, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
And when he started to pour out, you know, his spirit, man, that's what it's going to be, man. It's going to be that. He said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Yeah. And he's talking about the thing that's going to take place. Talking about your son, your daughter, all the prophesying that's going to be going on. And sometimes they can take that and utilize it and be outside of the vision, because they place themselves when they say, they heard him say that, you know, the sons and daughters are going to prophesy, and your old men should, you know, dream dreams. You know,
right.
It goes on before you get any further. They already seen themselves doing something that the word didn't say. You know.
All right.
And all he said, see that right there? He said, no, that's not what it said. You read what it said, you understand? And if you're part of what it said, then yeah, you're right on target. But don't make it be something that it's not. And that's the thing that happens a lot of times, you know, that a person could think it's something that is not. But when he says it shall come to pass, that's the most important part.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
But he said after, you know, so he might have had that. And I don't know, I'm just using this for example. When he said after, he knew all the things that was going to take place before the after take place. And, you know, that's that vision that he was talking about.
Right.
You see, when all those things took place for the last little over a year, that's the reason why the after haven't taken place yet. But after he pulled out his spirit, he's already preparing you to know none of that's going to stop me when I say that after I do this, it's going to take place.
So, right.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. That last said, brother, that it says, and it shall come to pass.
Right.
After that, I will pour out my spirit.
My God.
upon all flesh. Man, that's amazing.
Listen.
Go ahead.
You hit on it, Pastor, and I feel compelled to go ahead and give everybody the other part of that we didn't get, the 27. See, when we exegete that right, the 27 brings that in focus, what the 28 verse is saying. The 27 says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, my God, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Then he went on to say, and after.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm going to pour my spirit on you.
Yeah, see that?
I didn't come to preach, but I felt my help right there. You done stirred something up in me tonight now, bro. That's good news, brother.
It most certainly is.
It does us well to understand, Pastor, that trouble comes. Disappointment comes.
Yeah.
Right? Disappointment comes. And even setback comes. But guess what? The text tells us that God will be in the midst. He's going to pour his spirit on us, and we don't have to be ashamed because of that.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And check this out, preacher. Here's some of the forms. 657-383-0944. If you listen to us on Facebook, come on, get in there where you fit in there. If you listen to us on the podcast platform, get in there where you fit. I know we missed last week. Circumstance. But we back now. We here now. Talk straight. This your host. Making my dream my reality. That's what we're talking about. I got my good friend, my main man, 100 grand, Pastor Ricky Waller on with us tonight there. And we're just laying it out there. Pastor, I'm going to talk about some of the reasons people get discouraged and they drop out of the race, throw their hands up in despair, say, I quit. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it's because your change is strange. Your pockets are empty and your money ain't right. Huh? And that precludes you from having the material things that you dream about. Sometimes it's even breakdown in communication, pressures, social pressures at home and in the streets and even within your family. And folk just say, man, forget it. I don't care. I ain't gonna even try. What's the use of me trying? I've heard people say that, Pastor. What's the use of me even trying? Ain't nothing gonna ever come of it. Have you ever heard that before, Pastor?
It actually happens. A lot of times it happens that way. You know, that lack of faith, it would make that take place. It would give you the energy to do that, to throw in the towel. I mean, if you get hit hard enough, I mean, rightfully so. You know, it's obvious reason that would cause a person to do that. And
right.
When you're lacking finances and lacking, you know, the more support and things like that, it will come across your mind, I'm sure. And that's what has happened. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir. But I never forget. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize. Finish your thought.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
When you were saying that, it reminded me of the first time I got my bell rung, man, on the football field. Oh, my goodness. I just wanted to stay there for a minute. You know what I mean? Don't want nobody to touch me.
Yeah.
Don't nobody say, just leave me alone. Oh, look, y'all gone, man. Finish the game without me. You know, so get up. You said it earlier. If you get the wind knocked out, you're real good, man. Sometimes it's a natural response. Say, oh, hold up, man. It hurts.
That's a tough thing, though. Sometimes, you know, as I said, some things, you know, you can't control. And those things is something that takes place. But when you're just going about it because of you feel like you're lacking something, then you just don't want to continue. And you give up. That's what some people will do that. It's no use to me continuing it. That happens a lot.
Yeah,
yeah it does.
Does that make you a bad person if that thought come across? Pastor, does it make you a bad person if that thought come across, man?
No, no, not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all. That doesn't make you a bad person at all.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make you a bad person.
I think that's why so many people stay out of the game, Pastor, or from pressing on, because they feel like I'm a failure because I thought that way. I cried. That make me weak because I experienced hurt and pain. And even Jesus himself, the Bible suggests, was tormented. Huh?
Yeah.
He even asked the Father, man, God, dog, why? I'm paraphrasing. Why me, man? Why I got to go through this? I ain't done nothing to nobody, man. Huh?
Hey, man. You know, it's tough. It's tough sometimes when you know that you have to deal with that.
Right.
But it's just that way. It is actually just that way, man. You take a blow, and the blow is so severe, it's unexpected, and then it takes place, and man, it's like, how long must I deal with this? And I take a look at my situation sometimes, and I think about what I used to have, and it come across my mind a lot. You know, that's the temptation. You know, to some of those things that that can cause you to be unaware that you're right where you need to be. See, sometimes I'm thinking that, man, I need to be a little bit further on because I've been doing this a long time. And why do I not have this? Why do I not have that? Why am I struggling and scuffling? But it's part of the vision that I know that I have to withstand some of these difficulties. And I still have that desire. I still have that strong, when I say desire, to continue to believe that certain things is changeable and it will change if I don't give up on the vision.
Wow.
And that's not easy, bro. Believe me.
Let me ask myself. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You said denying yourself, huh?
Yeah, it happens to me, man. Sometimes, you know, it's just having no knowledge of certain things, you know, but still having a vision, it's just tough. It's just something that, you know, you learn as you go. And that's what I have to do. I have to know that, man, you learn as you go. I remember I walked away from the place that I used to work at. I enjoyed being there. And I was at this clothing store that I worked over there. And, I mean, just love to see people come in. I would assist them and things like that. So I was all right. And then, you know, I thought about the work that I did when I was doing the devil's work. I didn't deviate from it, you know. So, and the man, him and I was talking, and I told him, I said, put a help wanted sign, you know, in the window. You know, and like, you know, help wanted sign. He said, put a help wanted sign there for what? I said, yes, because I got to go and get a little closer to the Lord, you know. He said, well, what are you going to do? He couldn't believe what I was going with. I was going to be able to do that. He said, yeah, you know, you got a daughter, you got a car, you got an apartment, you got this, you got that. You got to still take care of that. I said, yeah. I said, you're right about that. I have to do that. I said, but I was using it. He said, well, how are you going to do it? I said, I'm going to use the same faith that I had when I first got with the Lord. He said, well, I got faith too. He said, but I still got to take care of this. I still got to pay this. Bill's going to be coming in. So he was being honest. He just wanted to see how I was going to deal with that because he knew I was from the streets, and he was trying to, you know, kind of make sure he was making me aware that are you getting ready to go back to the streets or something like that. And I appreciated him for that because that could have been a thought that he may have had. And so he didn't put no help wanted sign in the window for a little while. And he said, I'll come back. Yeah. Because we was all right, so he was like, I said, man, when you gonna put the sand in the wind? He said, man, don't be asking me about no sand, man. You know, in other words, he didn't want me to leave. And I appreciated
right,
that.
Right.
Knew we had really, really a good thing going over there at this store, man. I mean, customer-wise, they would come in and they knew they was going to be assisted, you know. And so finally he did. You know, actually, it's in my book.
Is that right?
It's in my book, man. I talked about that on the flip side. And what happened, he eventually put the sign up in there, and he asked me, would I come from time to time and assist them, you know, on certain days? And I told him that I would. But that's what you know, being distracted could be. You know, I could have said, well, no, I'm just going to stay with it, and I'm not going to go a step further into the vision. And I didn't know the vision or anything, but I understand it a little bit better now. I had to be all the way down where I wasn't able to survive. That's I lean and depend upon God, and so it's been a tough one. I tell you that it's been a true interesting tough journey because I have to learn how to deal with a lot of things I wasn't used to, that happens sometimes. See, when you have a genuine heart to do for the people according to what you are skilled to do, and you're qualified, you're capable, you're ready, you're willing. And when you put all that together, it's like the resources now is all that's missing, you know, where you can go ahead and further do what can be done to assist these kids. You're an educator, you understand? And you've got the quality of what an educator is capable of doing with those who show up. You see, so man, I can bear witness that you still got what it takes to get it done.
Well, I appreciate that. What I'm getting from you tonight is that this is part of the journey right here. See, it's part of the journey. Because there's some things, Pastor, that we don't see that the Lord God can see. Huh? And He has to keep us in the place where we don't get too much or we don't get too little, but we stay right where we need to be. And watch this. In this process, even in the last couple of years, I've learned a great deal. I'm thinking about when Paul told Timothy, young man, who wanted to try to help people, man, he wanted to be a leader.
Yeah.
Is that right? He told him in 2 Timothy,
that's
he
it.
Said, look, study to show yourself approval. People will teach you, man. Let me tell you something. When you start dealing with folks, they'll teach you. If you don't know, they'll break in.
Yeah,
when they break in, brother preacher. When they break in.
That's right. That's right, brother. That
and
is right. That's correct.
So, Timmy, don't get too cocky. Don't get too excited, but study to show yourself approved before God. See? And you diligent, you work hard so that you won't have to come up short and be ashamed of your effort.
That's
it may
right.
not come when you want him, but he'll be right on time.
That's it.
Huh?
That's it.
Be consistent with the word of truth. And you be an example, and you be steadfast, and in time. Now, here's the thing. Come on the show there. He says, where your school at? It ain't open. You know, and I knew that was the enemy. I knew that was the devil from the beginning. And the reality is that what I can see now in retrospect, I'm looking at May 31st, 2022, and I can see May 31st, 2020. See, and I can see that there were a lot of people need to understand why they got to focus on educating their children. Because this is the best way, the more knowledge they have, that's the best way they can take that knowledge to turn their dreams into reality. See,
that's
they
right.
have to be woken up. I see more more parents in Nashville and in other places recognizing, man, our children really missed out, and I got to take a greater role in making sure they get a quality education. I see that now, Pastor. I see that. That
right.
was necessary. Oh, and guess what God did? He shut it all down to wake folk up.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That's
now.
It.
In retrospect, and I couldn't see that then. Couldn't see
well,
it then.
That's it. You weren't able to see it then, but now that you have a better view of it, you can see it clearly.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. That's it. That is it. That's valuable.
Yeah, we're talking from the topic, making my dream my reality. And that sounds selfish. It sounds personal. But it is by design. You know, whatever the Lord has birthed in you, the idea, the vision, it's important for each and every one of us to realize that. And to be in a position just like Timothy, where we're developing ourselves. We're always seeking to improve, to be knowledgeable, so that we can come out what? Not being ashamed. Not being ashamed.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Joel was talking about in the second chapter. And we brought 27 in where the Lord said, my people, I'm paraphrasing, won't have to be ashamed.
That's
so
it.
What I got a
That's it.
Look, Pastor. So what I got a big nose.
Huh?
So what I got a big
yeah.
nose. So what I look
yeah.
so good.
You don't have to be. You still don't have to be.
My Lord.
Ashamed.
No, sir. And
yeah.
never mind the fact that I came from the projects. That
yeah.
don't mean nothing. Huh?
That's right. That's right.
I was
that
so broke I couldn't even pay attention. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that don't take away from nothing. That don't take away from you being a winner, though.
No, sir. See what I'm saying?
No, it
See
doesn't.
What I'm
no, it doesn't.
Now, what's that text you always quote? All run in a race. Give me that. Give me a little bit of that, preacher.
Yeah.
But how many?
Yeah.
How many people are going to be number one, guy? Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's the only one going to win the prize, though. It's in a race, all run. One's going to win the prize. So he tell you to run it as if you're going to be the one that's going to win.
My goodness.
So,
my goodness.
That's the way you run a race. You know, if there's a prize, you run that you're going to win the prize. That's how you run it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Run up. Run up.
Yeah, because I all run. You just say, look, I all run. You just enter into the race and believe you're going
that's
to
it.
Win. And that's it. And that's just it. That's why he says, in a race, all run. Get ready.
Everybody get to run.
Yeah.
Everybody get a shot at it.
Get in the race. Now,
watch this.
They're going to have a shot at it.
Come on now. Here's the secret, or here is the factor of productivity, how prepared you are, how trained you are, how ready you are to endure through that race. Huh? Now, you can get up and jump. You can get up and jump in a competition ill prepared. And you can just about tell how that's gonna come out, can't you?
You can about tell
how that's gonna show up.
That's the reason why the race of the world is a little different than the race when you get inside the will of God.
I see.
You know, they're charged already with being losers. They'll tell you who's gonna win the race and everything once that take place. Because that's the way they move in the world. They say that the horses get ready to start to run, and they say, well, I know such and such horse going to win the race. Yeah. They'll say that in a minute.
What if the race is fixed already? What if the race is fixed already? Somebody done rigged it.
That's what I'm talking about.
How you know that? We all just got it. The race supposedly just started. How you know how it's gonna come out?
Yeah.
Where you get that?
Yeah.
We're joined by our friend out of St. Louis. We're talking from the topic, making my dream my reality. Not nobody else. I don't really want nobody else stuff. I just want mine. You know what I mean? I want to take what I got, my skill, my talent, and make that useful. Maybe I'll share it with a few people. Maybe I'll share it with humanity. Welcome there, sir. Welcome to Talk Straight. Appreciate you joining us tonight. That's our topic. That's our topic, making my dream my reality. You know anything about that?
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It depends on when you start dreaming.
You say when you start to interesting.
Yeah, there's a difference between when you dream as a kid and when you dream when you're 40-year-old.
Wow. Talk to me about that. What do you mean? Help me understand that. Like I'm 3 years old.
Because when you 3 years old, when you're a kid, the sky's the limit. But when you start getting 40, 45, and 50, the grave's the limit. You just don't have the body. Mind's willing, the body is weak, they say.
Okay. Interesting. Now, St. Louis, my son is a pretty good basketball player. He got some skills. And it's been a few years ago now. But I decided that I was going to go out there and show him what I knew. You understand what I'm saying? I want him to understand, just because I ain't as young as you, I still drop them threes on you, and I can run you down the court. That didn't work out too well for me too long, St. Louis. I realized, man.
Well, you could have called me up, and I would have told you that.
But look, guess what I did, Pastor Wallace? I stayed back behind the three-point line, and I just dropped them on. Every time you come up there, I just let pop out. Take those to the bank. And every now and then I fake them, Pastor. And then I run up there and do a layup on them. He's like, oh!
That's it.
I take your point that when you, even the text says, remember the Creator when you're young, because it refers to evil days. When you get old and you can't run and your eyes start to get a little weary and whatever, those days are going to come, man. So I think, is that a fair statement of a conclusion of what you're saying, St. Louis? That time is going to come when you ain't going to be able, the 40-year-old won't be able to keep up like that little young person.
Well, there's no putting off father time now, is it?
No. I can't see it. I can't see it. But now, just because you're old, are you washed up, St. Louis? Does that mean it's over for you? Even if you got a late start, do you give up and say, forget it, man, I ain't no chance of me winning? Or do you press on?
Well, you're not necessarily washed up, but you learn where to hang your laundry.
He said, learn where to hang your laundry. Okay, all right. If you don't want folks, I don't want to see my regular underwear now, so I hang that inside. I put my pants and my shirt outside. How about that, St. Louis? That's a good move?
That's a good move.
Okay. So some other factors to why good people find themselves despondent, and just, Pastor Waller, they're about to have a breakthrough. I've seen this a lot. Things about to turn in their favor. They've been working hard. Things about to turn in their favor. And then, out the blue, they say, I'm done. It's over for me. I quit. You're like, hey, where you going, man? What's up? Where you going? And here's what happens. Systematically, things get set up to where no matter how hard they've been trying and how much they've been putting in, somebody doesn't try. They keep moving the goalpost on them. Huh? And they say, well, you know what, doggone it. I don't even know who this is or why I keep moving, but what I know is hard as I work, it looks like the harder it gets for me. And then they take the position, Pastor Waller. This is it for me. I'm out. I'm checking out. I'm turning the lights out. Talk to me about that mindset, bro, preacher, and how can we encourage our young folks? They just started, man. They just got out the bond, and too many of them are just checking out. And forget it. I quit. How we get that, Pastor?
Well, I've seen a lot of young people give up real quick at a young age.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, it's just like, and then go to talk about how, what the age is.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how old are you?
Mm-hmm.
21. That's 21. Sound like to me, that's pretty young.
Yeah.
But they give up.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you got those that are of age that still standing firm and not giving up. So it comes down to the individual, you know, come down to the person's age.
Okay.
According to my witness,
mm-hmm,
every
mm-hmm.
kid in my family tried to beat me in basketball, but I'm going to tell you what happened.
Okay.
All of them tried it.
What happened?
I said, all of them tried it.
That's
it. End of the story.
Okay, they tried.
And I'm talking about any other story. I mean, that's not boasting. That's just what happened. So, you know,
right.
And I mean, it came down to it, pretty tight games and things like that too, but it didn't happen. So
mm-hmm.
it didn't have to do with how young or how old. It had to do with how they played the game. And,
I
had to wait one time until I don't have one more shot left in me. I feel like if I miss this right here, I don't have a chance to even try to run and get the rebound or nothing. And not to mention, this nephew right here is really strong, and I'm talking about physically. And I said, man, do you shoot this ball or do you just hold it a little bit longer? I still remember the location where we was at, behind Mary's barbecue pit, and he had his mother there with him, and I had a pair of tennis shoes that he liked. And he said if he beat me, he was gonna keep my sneakers. He wanted them that bad. And I can't even know how to respond to him because he know he got me. I let it ride on him, you understand what I'm saying? And I told his mama to come and get him. Yeah. And bring them tennis shoes out of your car. And bring them tennis shoes out of your car that you got in there, man. It's just one of those things where it's not something to take lightly. You know, we talked about giving up. That's what you were talking about earlier, about giving up.
Mm-hmm.
At the very
mm-hmm.
moment that you have just that moment of time that you need it and you don't give up, you know. And so now my record is still pretty cool with my nephews and all of them that come up in the family. So years later, they'll get a chance to have talking rights. Uncle Ricky, yeah, all y'all had a chance, and I not let him get a, he's not getting another chance. No, I already got him, so you ready to get another chance now, you know. So I'm saying all that to say, that's in sports. You know, we was talking about in a race. You remember we talked about in a race, all run,
right.
But only one
right.
Peter prize.
That's right.
So it's up to the individual. You know, if you run it, that's a different type of race. That's a different type of game. If you're over here inside the will of God and you have a vision, no matter what your age is, if God gives you the vision, it's going to work.
That's right.
Unless
that's right.
you, as I said, you get distracted by things that said or, you know, things like that. That could distract you right quick.
Sure can.
But that shouldn't take away from the vision that was given to you, like you have one. And, you know, it's a vision that you have to do certain things. And if you just keep that same desire, he said it'll come to pass. That's what you read. I mean, I'm believing that it says and you said it shall come to pass, is what you said. You said, and it shall
That's
come
right.
to pass after that he will pour out his spirit.
That's
but if
right.
we play a part of it, it should work. No distractions and all. It still
sure.
supposed to work. Because
sure.
he said after.
That's
I just
right.
take
That's
I just
right.
take what he said, man.
Yeah. Well, let St. Louis, my son called me a couple of months ago. You know, he's the treasurer for the Nesbitt chapter there in Cleveland, Ohio. And he says, how do you do it? Because, he and the rest of the group were working hard trying to recruit minority. And they, St. Louis, they didn't want to just settle for the young ladies who seemed to come more than the males. He really wanted to see more little black boys participate. But it seems like it was an uphill journey in the areas that they were in, the East Cleveland. And so he was asking me, what can we do? How do we get them? And I said to him, well, first of all, you got to make it, there are so many distractions. And you've got to make sure that you're there for the right reasons, right? And sometimes you may not, if you get 10 of them, you may not get all 10 of them to stick with you. You may only wind up getting one or maybe two if you're doing real good. But you've worked in that arena before, and I understand that you've done a lot of mentoring and things of that nature. What would your advice be there in that regard? And we talking about engineering now, trying to encourage them to get an engineering. That requires some cognitive skills and what have you. What would your advice be there?
Well, they have to have some innate abilities too. That's why you start them children off young, exposing them to the things like electricity.
Okay.
So exposing them to magnetism, exposing them to mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Something simple that helps to build those type of skills and seeing what they have an innate ability to do. You know, there's
right.
two different types of engineers. There's the functional one, and there's the one that just can crunch the numbers and so forth. So they all
okay.
not the same. Everybody can't look at something and devise and visualize in their mind of it going from point A to point B.
Right.
Yeah.
So now,
those are special people.
Interestingly enough, a lot of it's been my observation, and that this was true with me too, growing up in urban area. There's a lot of individuals with a lot of skill and talent that's untapped. And I'm talking about physical skill and agility. They just don't know how to channel it. I wonder if that's where you should start there. Is to help them. You see it in sports, St. Louis. You see it most often focused on in sports, right, with the drill and so forth and so on. But I really believe that cognitively, if there was a resources and there was a stronger focus on bringing out those that natural agility, creative thinking and so forth and so on, we missing that in the public schools in terms of logical processing, right? Focusing on that, particularly for African American males.
Public school is a terrible place. Sir.
Well,
have been for a while, but you got to take children. As I said before, if you put as much emphasis on if you see they're going to be a wide receiver or running back, well, you have to do the same thing in other areas too, especially
sure.
Futuristic professions.
Yeah. I mean, I see a
and
lot.
And then some of them is not going to happen because it just ain't going. It just ain't. I tend to believe that you just about got as much as you're going to get. It depends on what you're trying to achieve or trying to strive for. As you're going to get out of black society, in general, is what you see, based on how you're going about the nurture, but. You'll see a school here that have a 90% graduation rate, that have 75% proficiency in math and equal in reading, but then majority is going to be down there in lower percentiles.
Okay. You know, I just read an article, St. Louis, where was that school at? I want to say it was in either Detroit or Chicago. It was a charter school. And all of those young men that were graduating were accepted to college and got scholarships to go to college and, you know, had the GPA and what have you. And I said, man, if the media would just pub that.
Maybe well, there's a lot that does that. It's two things to do. You have to go. You go. You got to be able to stay, and you got to be prepared to be able to stay.
Absolutely.
See, the thing is with black kids on college entrance exam, you got some of these colleges that spot black kids 310 points. Hispanics Hispanics 270 or something like that, 170. Yeah. Then you. Whites, they don't give no points, and Asians, they deduct. I think that's discrimination.
Well, okay. Well, now, it's interesting you say that, because when you think about standardized tests, one of the keys or secrets to it is understanding Latin, right? Because a lot of times you're using word association, and if you understand Latin, you know the roots and how they connect with other words, and you can just about focus on where you're going with a scenario or a test question and that sort of thing. So it's about preparation, though. It is about preparation. But in these last 13 minutes, gentlemen, I'd like to just briefly hit on what we see nationally, this trend with young men, and it's not just black men, black males, but white males, and we just saw a Hispanic recently in Texas there. No father, no structure, no discipline, and they're just out there, right? It's not just one or two cases. In every incident, you see and you saw little white boys engaged in the same thing, mass killing and what have you. Is there any hope there, gentlemen, and should that be a national focus on really being honest about that conversation? What do y'all think about that? I'm just curious. Anybody? Pat?
Ain't nobody killing like black folks are.
Well, we do a lot of it.
It's May the 22nd. And I got a tally up for up to yesterday, the 30. You know, shot 4,497 in Chicago. 629 murders. 621 murders.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody else doing. Ain't no other ethnic group doing that.
Well, I wonder where's the righteous indignation there, though. That's true. And there are other cities that are right behind them. You know, New Orleans is one of them. But in general, you have two classes, two groups there, St. Louis and Pasquale. You have the class of those who engage in criminal behavior that's leading to death and destruction. And then you have those who are obviously psychotic or have some mental challenges and what have you. But it doesn't seem as if enough focus is on either one of those groups. They're all the young males, though. They're all the young males.
Well, who's gonna put the focus on the one that's not? Because the one that is, apparently there was focus that came out of family and household.
Which one are you talking about?
The one that's achieving. You had to have focus that was coming out of the family.
I can't
concentrate on my own kid and somebody else at the same time. Just ain't gonna happen.
I see. Huh. That's an interesting point. Very interesting point. You know, this may factor into why so many people come to the conclusion it's just better for me to leave certain areas altogether and forget about it, because I can't control the dynamics as much as I may want to. So I'll just leave all those people behind, and that's a very interesting thing. Pat, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. What's your thought on those two groups of young men, Pastor, that are those that are engaged in the black-on-black crime that leads to death and destruction, and those who, we hear about them every so often, and they shooting up in folk or whatever. Any thought on that? How do we, more importantly, in your view, what do you think focus could be or perhaps should be?
Well, I've been seeing so much when it comes down to killing and things like that. I've seen so many in the area of, I was watching a TV program and they were showing a lot of murderers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were white people. They were killing mm-hmm. their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean constantly. It was like nonstop, like as if it wasn't no end to it.
Mm.
But if you just focus on that alone, what were they killing for? And I found out most of it was killing about their own money, inheritance, and things like that. So, and then the black on black, is that what you said? The black on black also?
Yeah.
There's a trap there. There's a trap that's been set, you know, and it's causing a lot of harm that one is doing to another. And so, but I just can't exclude the truth. The truth is that I didn't know that it was that much killing going on with white people. But I found out that there is. And that's
true.
If you look at it, I mean, it's like it constantly showing it, constantly. And I mean, when I say, I'm talking about cutting them up, putting them in the refrigerator and all kind of stuff, man. You know, and I've seen that. I mean, this is like true stories and things like that that were really taking place. And they had plenty of money.
Yeah.
They had plenty of money.
Yeah.
But apparently money didn't make that all right. It was something about it. It was something about that, man. See that. So I can't knock the ones that, you know, that's out there doing what they're doing. I just know that there is hope. And when I say there is hope, it's like what you desire to do as far as schooling, teaching, and showing them things like that. That's awesome, man. I mean, so it takes what it takes, you know, to turn it around. And, you know, but when I seen all of that, man, I knew then that killing was no respected person, apparently, because it's not like the ones that you were talking about, the black-on-black crime. I mean, they may be killing for $2 or $10, whatever it is, territory. Well, I don't know what's going on with it, but they're doing a lot of killing. Okay, yeah. But then why is other group of people doing all this killing?
Sure.
And that's the thing. But it was going on.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes, sir. And it
ain't no... It ain't nowhere in white society that's killing like black folks killed each other. My nephew's niece was killed here Monday before last by her husband. Went to the job and killed her. Police came. When the white police came, he started shooting at them. Then he ran in his car, stopped somewhere, and committed suicide. That's
a
mental illness. Yes.
Mm.
So why goes on? I think it's a segment of the society that's cursed myself. I'm starting to believe it. And I've had people tell me that. Those what you call intergenerational curses for what you've done in the past. So not what you necessarily, but what some member of your ancestry done to others. And if they couldn't handle you physically or technologically, they would casting spells and curse. So that's the thing to think about.
Interesting. Okay. Well, look at the time. We're down to 5 minutes here. But I would just hope, gentlemen, that we would find that answer sooner than later. St. Louis, let me get a final thought from you before we close it out. Man, time got away from us here.
Well, yeah, time did go away. I go through my phone and call people and cross my fingers, hope they answer the phone. They ain't dead. Well, then we have a little rejoice and reminisce on the past and have a good conversation. But then again,
absolutely,
some of them are gone. It's what's expected. We can't live forever. Nothing's going to last forever. Even this earth's going to come to pass. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you joining us, my friend. All right. Man, great conversation. Making my dream my reality. That's what we've been talking about. Pastor Waller, why don't you take us home for the night? Take us home for the night.
Hey, man, I believe that, following the order that God has placed in existence, he gave us a day we've never seen before, and he made us aware that if we put trust in him, because he said in his word, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And when I read that, it made me appreciate knowing that I didn't have to lean to my own understanding anymore. That's a good thing. So learning is a really beautiful thing, and you just keep teaching and having that desire. And I just encourage you, brother, because not a whole lot of people, that are educators that's willing, ready, and anxiously waiting for the opportunity to teach young kids to make them enjoy learning. Man, it's nothing like it. And so just the thought of the dream, keep that dream that you have alive.
All right.
I say to you, after I wind down on this note right here, because there could be a question, how do you keep the dream alive when you can't see the dream?
That's the
best time to keep it alive, because he said we walk by faith and not by sight. I yield that to you on that note.
Look, the just, if I throw that in, the just must walk by faith.
Yeah, brother. That's it.
All right. Don't let nobody
distract you.
My glory. All right. And we've been talking from the topic, making my dream my reality. Yeah, that's mine. Luther Vandross told us that you can dream that impossible dream and keep it moving. We'll see y'all next week for another episode of Talk Straight. On behalf of Pastor Wall, our co-host, and all those that join us, we thank you, and we'll see you next week there.
That my heart will not keep on my call when I'm late to my rest. And the world will be better for